from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful Tuesday. We are off tomorrow in celebration of Juneteenth. This is a very weird week for us, at least in terms of a show schedule. So we are off tomorrow because of Juneteenth. Thursday, the Royals have a day game against the Oakland Athletics. And then on Friday, Rob will not be here. Rob is getting married this weekend, so a little bit of a different week for us. I will be here for all of those days. Appreciate you guys being here with me on 610 Sports Radio. We got a lot to get into. The NBA champion has been crowned. The Boston Celtics took care of business last night in an absolute beatdown, a drubbing of the Dallas Mavericks. We'll actually get to that here coming up in a bit. The offseason is in full throttle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Our guy Pete Sweeney is going to join us on the show coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. I give you guys one NFL thought every day around 3:15. Again, a lot to get into. We'll get into the NBA finals and my biggest takeaway from the series. But before we do any of that,
pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7610. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they've taken over the town. They got the new spot in Waldo, but they got places all across the city. OP, Lee Summit, Midtown, North KC, St. Joe, and Lawrence. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So, Carrington, whether you're hungry enough for a full pie like they brought in the other day, or maybe a slice or two is more your play, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends, but if you want some of the best pizza in town, they brought us some of their newest pizza yesterday. It was phenomenal. We passed it around the office. Everyone loved it. If you want some of the best pizza from our friends at Pizza Tasio, and you also want to get ready for the Royals series this week against the Oakland A's, the best place to do that is right here on 610 Sports Radio. So as I was watching the game yesterday and just following this series, I think a lot about the way that Kyrie Irving has acted over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. So as you guys know, Kyrie, after leaving Cleveland and LeBron, he wanted to go have his own team in Boston. It didn't really go that well. He was not built to be the number one on a team, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. They were not chanting Kyrie sucks because he wasn't a true number one. They were chanting Kyrie sucks because of how he left Boston and also some of the things he has done since he left playing for the Celtics. At one point in his career, when he was playing for the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving walked around their stadium with sage. lit sage. He was walking around the gym to try to free any bad omens inside the stadium. He also did this in the locker room. And I think that's a major reason why James Harden wanted to be traded. But that's another story for another day. So at one point, Kyrie walks around the gym with Sage, walks around the locker room with Sage. He then, in one of the most disrespectful things that you can do on a basketball court, he steps on the mascot. And we're not just talking about stepping on anybody's mascot. We're not talking about you stepped on the Tampa Bay Rays. We're talking about one of the most iconic logos in American sports. You stepped on Lucky. You stepped on the Boston Celtics. That's disrespecting Larry Bird. That's disrespecting Bill Russell. That's disrespecting Bob Cousy, Red Auerbach, and everything that that proud franchise stands for. And Kyrie Irving went out of his way to step on it. Now, deep down, I really don't have a problem with it. In fact, I find it to be entertaining. You know what sports needs? Sports needs villains. And being the villain sounds really, really fun, right? Everybody hates you. You show up at the building. Everybody boos you. Boo! You stink. You go in there. You got your headphones on. You got your game face on. Stone face. No expression. You're not going to let any of this noise get to you. You are going to go in here and you are going to ruin people's night. People spent $500, $600, thousands of dollars to watch this basketball game, and you are going to make sure that they go home unhappy. That's every athlete's dream. It got me thinking about Patrick Mahomes, and you remember Buffalo had been clamoring for the opportunity to play Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick just kind of sat there, didn't really say anything, and fully embraced that opportunity. Hey, if you guys want me to be the villain, cool. I'm happy to be the villain. In fact, I like being the villain.
I like to be the villain a little bit.
Yeah! Me too!
No, yeah, it's obviously it's cool. Arrowhead, be the hero and win the games and be able to host the AFC Championship trophy.
Yeah.
But it's just as fun, no offense to any of my division opponents, to go to their places and win those games. And so it's definitely, both are great. But yeah. Even though I have the smile, I like being the villain sometimes.
And it all sounds good, you know? Everybody wants to be the villain sometimes. It's great. But I think what we learned, at least in relation to Kyrie Irving, is everybody ain't built to be the villain. Again, it sounds great. Man, you're going to go to this other team's field. You're going to go to this other team's home court. And you are going to shut everybody up. Everybody's going to boo you, throw popcorn, throw drinks at you. And you are going to shut everybody up. It sounds great. Until it ain't. I mean, last night, you scored 15 points. In game one, you scored 12 points. In game two, you scored 16 points. You're telling me on the road in Boston, where you wanted to be the villain, where you stepped on their mascot, you averaged 14.5 points? You're telling me that in that scenario, you shot 3 for 17 from three? That's what you're telling me. You're telling me on the road, you shot 18 for 47 and you wanted to be the villain? Everybody wants to be the villain until it's time to be the villain. That guy don't want to battle. He shook. That's what it looked like in this series. It looked like Kyrie was shook, and I get it. You had a chance to put on the Joker mask. But your game ain't the Joker. It takes a different human being and a different athlete to take all of that energy from the opposing team's crowd and channel it into great performances. And that's what separates really good players like Kyrie from the all-time greats. That's what made Tom Brady so special. That's what makes Patrick Mahomes so special. That's what made Michael Jordan so special. That on the road, game six in Utah, I'm going to hit the big shot and everybody is about to go home disappointed. That's what made Kobe Bryant so special, because we identify that it takes a different level of mentality. It takes a certain thickness of skin. You got to be built different to go on the road and shut everybody up. And what we learned in this series is that Kyrie ain't built like that. The dribble moves look great. They're great. when it came time for you to do that and Jaylen Brown was locking you up and Tatum was locking you up and Drew Holiday put the padlock on you, the full 96 feet, you look like you wanted no parts of it, and you look like you were ready to go home and watch a documentary on Amazon. That's what it looked like for most of this series. So that's my takeaway. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics. A dominating win from start to finish. I mean, you go 12-3, excuse me, you go 16-3 in the postseason. We got to tip your hat. You got to tip your hat to what Boston did in the regular season, to what Boston did in the postseason. I mean, they went 80-21 this year in the NBA. Just a dominant performance from start to finish. This series was never close at any time. There was never a time in which you thought the Mavericks had a realistic chance of winning this series. Never. Not after game one, not after they finally got their one win in game four. It was clear who the best team in the NBA was this year. It was clear who the best team was in this playoff series. So congratulations to Boston as they are once again crowned NBA champions. Coming up on the other side, you know what? Let's switch gears just a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of football. I know it's the offseason, but there are some Chiefs stories that are floating around right now. Let's talk about them. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's update you on Chiefs defensive lineman, soon-to-be ex-Chiefs defensive lineman Isaiah Buggs. So you guys might remember Isaiah Buggs was charged a couple of weeks ago on animal cruelty. He has now found himself back in the middle of another legal issue, this time of a different matter. Court documents show an officer, or court documents show an officer found evidence that someone broke into an apartment with a tire iron. As Tuscaloosa police officers responded to an apartment complex around 5:30 on Sunday morning, a woman at the apartment told the officer that Isaiah Bugs dragged her down the stairs, causing scratches to her wrist and several broken toenails. The document also shows that a witness called 911 after seeing Bugs allegedly break into the apartment. He was not there when the officer arrived. The probable cause statement alleged that Bugs left the scene in a white Cadillac. A second officer spotted the Cadillac near the apartment complex. They detained him, according to the records. So, to fully recap this thing, he was already in trouble. They let him out on a bond. Because he was arrested again while he was out on bond, he is now right back in the jail. I know that he is an insignificant member of the team. I am not saying this to make it a larger point about maybe some off the field issues with the Chiefs. There is no greater point than he just needs to be off the team. That's it. He just needs to be off the team. On May 30th, you got arrested for allegedly being cruel to animals, and one of the animals had to be euthanized. And then on the 16th of June, you were arrested for allegedly dragging a woman down a flight of stairs. If that doesn't get you kicked off a football team, I don't know what does. Now, I imagine at some point they are going to do this. Every day until this happens, I'm going to continue to push for them to release him off the team. Why is he still associated with the Kansas City Chiefs? Why, when there is an update, as there is right now on KCTV5, why are they able to put Chiefs defensive tackle and not ex-Chiefs defensive tackle? Because once you kick him off the team, believe me, they will not be covering this anymore on Fox 4. KMBC 9 News will no longer be covering the Isaiah Bugs case. When they put this on the headlines on ESPN.com, it will say ex-Chiefs player next to his name. Please get him off the team immediately. The man's in jail right now. I don't even know what he's in jail for. Is it for this incident? Because of the dog incident? Who cares what it is? Either one of them independently are enough to get you kicked off the team. If the cops pull up to your residence and the dogs are so uncared for that one of them has to be put down, and then 2 weeks later, you are back in handcuffs because you allegedly abused a woman, that is enough to get you kicked off the team. That's enough. That is enough for you to find other employment. And maybe you find employment in the National Football League. I don't care what team you go to. You just can't play for this team. You can go play for the Raiders, Broncos, Chargers. I don't care if it's in the division. I don't care if you go play for Houston or any of these other teams. You can't be on the Chiefs anymore. So I'm telling you, every day until they finally release this man off the team, we will spend some amount of time talking about this, because it makes no sense to me why he is still on the team. None. Please cut him immediately. People have been cut for far less than what he has been accused of. Please get him off the team.
Better players have been cut for less. Everything you're saying is correct. The off-the-field issues need to end in Isaiah Bugs being cut by the Kansas City Chiefs. But, I mean, we both live in the real world. We understand how the game is played. If Isaiah Bugs was the star of the NFL, maybe we'd understand the let's do due diligence. He has not played a snap. He is a practice squad player. There is no financial penalty. You get a PR win by cutting him immediately. There has to be a legal reason why he's on the team. There has to be. I can't fathom why else he's still on the team.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, by your logic, then you believe Rashee Rice should be off the team. What Isaiah Bugs is accused of is worse than what Rashee Rice did. It's worse. Like, we don't need to play the comparative game, but if that's the game you want to play, what he did is worse. You had two dogs chained up at your residence with no access to food or water, to the point that one of them had to be put down. And then 2 weeks later, you are accused of breaking into a woman's house at 5:30 in the morning on Sunday and dragging her down the stairs. That's worse. It's worse. please be off the team. I'm sorry. Please be off the team. And I know innocent until proven guilty. You know who doesn't get that right? Isaiah Bugs doesn't get that right of innocent until proven guilty. Not for a guy that you could not rate. You guys couldn't pick him out of a lineup. You don't get innocent until proven guilty when you're him. You get that if you're Travis Kelce. Sure, innocent until proven guilty. We're going to bend over backward. We might hire our own lawyer. Clark Hunt has never spoken to this individual. Not one time. Mark Donovan has never met Isaiah Bugs. Please get him off the team. As far away from the team as possible. Please. Immediately. I don't want him. Every day we will talk about this. 913-586-7610. I'm sorry. Please get him away from the team. Someone said, remember last offseason with the Bills and a quiet offseason. I don't want to put all of these Chiefs things into the same. The Chiefs have only really had one real incident. They've had one real incident. The Rashee Rice car accident is a legitimate, hey, what's going on here? Him maybe slapping somebody at the club. Did he do it? Did he not do it? We've never seen any video. We don't really have any proof that Rashee Rice slapped somebody. Have you seen any proof? I mean, we didn't see any video. We didn't see any picture. We didn't really get any testimony. It's not like there was a news story of somebody telling us. I don't know if he slapped the man or not. Now, it's bad that you were in the headline for being accused of slapping that man, but I have no clue if he slapped him. I'm telling you that Patrick Mahomes has never talked to this man, Isaiah Bugs, before. Why would he have talked to him? He's not on the offense. He's not a key player. He's never spoken to this man before. What are the other incidents? Harrison Butker's graduation comments? So I'm not making it seem like the Chiefs have not had the completely quiet, uneventful offseason. I don't want to make it seem like this is the wild, wild west and we're talking about the Portland Trailblazers or the Oakland Raiders kind of offseason. The Chiefs have had one real offseason issue. They've had one. Rashee Rice. If you're going to get into a Lamborghini or Corvette or whichever one he was driving and you want to play Need for Speed Burnout on the highway, that's a real off-season issue. Everything else is just nonsense to me. Nothing else to me registers like that one does.
I'm trying to think what else would even register and the actual football part, they've been not noisy either. Like, they're all just minding their business going to, I mean, I guess Kadarius Toney not showing up to work, but I wouldn't count that as noisy.
I mean, there's 15 teams in the league that had somebody not show up for OTAs.
I'm sure if we looked at 30 of the 31 teams, guy 52 misses OTAs more times than not.
We saw one team, their quarterback didn't show up.
Well, he was clearly busy.
Yeah, their quarterback didn't show up. He was in Egypt.
Allegedly.
He was somewhere. Aaron Rodgers was somewhere. I don't know where he was. He wasn't at work, though. I do know that. I really would like to know why this guy is still on the team. I'm serious. Like, I really would love to know why this guy is still on the team and why they are holding on to him and why the moment that comes across your desk, if you're Andy Reid, you just don't look at Brett Veach and say, yeah, he's out of here. Yeah, give him, please. Clean his locker out. He's not coming with us to St. Joe. No. We don't want him in St. Joe. We don't want him on our team anymore. It doesn't make any sense to me.
They cut practice squad guys all the time.
Yeah.
I don't even think they put out press releases when they do it. Like, I'm betting they had, the practice squad, 10 players, 12 players? I bet they churned through 20 players last year on the practice squad. Like, Isaiah Bugs did not break camp with the team last year. That's what happens with practice squad players. So they don't even need a real reason to cut them other than just you're on the practice squad and that's what happens sometimes, bud. Like, it makes no sense to me.
So there is a story right now, and I love to follow Arrowhead Pride, especially during this time. They do this little segment called Arrow Headlines where they just kind of compile, Chiefs headlines from around the National Football League. And one story, it says, Kansas City Chiefs could trade former second-round pick. So I'm reading it, and I'm like, all right, well, who could this be? The name is Sky Moore. All right, a couple of things. Sky Moore has next to zero trade value. I don't care how great of a training camp that he could possibly have. You know what I'm not doing if I'm another team in the National Football League? giving you anything of value for Sky Moore when he is your fifth or sixth wide receiver. Sky Moore is heading into year three of his career, and he has less than 500 yards receiving and one regular season touchdown. I am here telling you that there is no trade value for Sky Moore. You have two options, either keep him or cut him. You are not getting a seventh round pick for him. You are not getting a sixth round pick for him. You are not getting a Z-Man for him. You are not getting a Chipotle gift card. You have two options, either keep Sky Moore or cut Sky Moore. That is it. I still believe that there is reason to keep Sky Moore on the team. Number one, financially, it doesn't really do you any favor to get rid of him. Like, you do not gain anything by cutting him. You do not really lose anything financially for cutting him. So you might as well just keep him. And I will be very curious to see what it looks like if you are Sky Moore and you are fully healthy coming into this season. And there's not really much of an expectation for you to go out there and do anything. At best, Rob, he's what, your fourth wide receiver? He's your fifth wide receiver? I mean, what level of expectations does any team in the National Football League have for their third, fourth, or fifth wide receiver? He's clearly behind Rice. He's clearly behind Worthy. He's clearly behind Hollywood Brown. At best, we're talking about he's your fourth receiver. And then if you want to get into an argument about Justin Watson, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore, we can have that conversation. So at best, we think he's fourth. I think you might as well just keep him. He's still on a rookie deal. He's still dirt cheap. Let's see if you can squeeze out at least 1 year of decent production. Now, what does decent production for Sky Moore look like is a legitimate question. I mean, his first year, he had 250 yards. Last year, he had 244 yards. I mean, are you taking 350 yards this season from Sky Moore? You're taking 400 yards? I'd be thrilled if they got 400 yards from Sky Moore this year. I just don't see any reason for Sky Moore not to be on the team moving forward. At this point, it is a sunk cost. You spent a second round pick. He's not going to live up to being a second round pick. But is he a guy that you can get to be Byron Pringle? Can he be a Byron Pringle type for your team, at least on a rookie deal? I think there's a possibility of that. I would keep Sky Moore for this year. I wouldn't really entertain trading him because I don't think he has any value.
I don't disagree. But Carrington, we've seen players in the same vein as Sky Moore get traded just for, like, not our problem anymore deals all the time. Mirror Chiefs corner Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes was considered a good corner prospect at one time from the Vikings. UCF kid. They liked Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes wasn't working out in Minnesota. You know what they did? They traded him for a conditional six to the Chiefs. That kind of thing happens all the time in the league. We talk in Kansas City. The Veach special. He finds failed first-round picks, gives away ham sandwiches, and tries to make the most of them. You don't think there's another team in the league that would be willing to give up a conditional seventh, a conditional sixth today? I'm not talking about at the end of camp, but today for a guy they're like, hey, we had a second-round grade on him. They had a second-round grade on him. It's a rookie deal. Let's see what happens. You don't think there's anyone that would take the Veach special type of flyer move on him just to make it happen?
Yeah, but normally when Veach has kind of taken that flyer on guys, I mean, there's at least been some kind of proven track record that it can work. We have no reason to believe that Sky Moore is a productive wide receiver in the National Football League. It's not like Sky Moore had 600 yards his first year and then was banged up last year and now you want to cut ties. That would make sense to me. Hey, you know what? It's not going to work here. We drafted over you. Let's go ahead and cut our losses. He has less than 500 yards in two seasons. Like, sometimes I think we act like these other NFL teams either don't watch film or are possibly dumb. Why would I give the Chiefs anything? Why would I take on the contract for Sky Moore and I would give you some kind of asset for him? No, I'm not doing that. Not at all. Not for a guy who hasn't proven he hasn't worked in an ideal situation, at least with other scenarios like Kadarius Toney, right? Or like MVS. I know it's different. We're talking about, but you remember when MVS, it was like, oh, well, that was in that offense. What about when you bring him here? Or with Kadarius Toney, well, you played with Daniel Jones. You were with Brian Daboll. What does it look like when you're here? If you're a team that trades a seventh round pick, let's say you're Seattle. Let's pick a decent team that has an okay quarterback. I don't want to just pick the worst example. If you couldn't make it work with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, and that offense for a team last year that desperately needed a wide receiver. What makes me think that you're going to work with Geno Smith? Like, what reason is for me to believe that Kansas City couldn't get the most out of you, but we are going to be able to get something out of you? I just don't think Sky Moore at this point has any value. Now, you go out there, you ball out this year. Let's see what happens with Rashee Rice. Maybe he misses six games. He shows you something. I mean, at least we always use the example with Albert Wilson, right? Well, Albert Wilson gave you one game of, hey, I could maybe be a legitimate number two in the National Football League. There's like a glimmer of hope there. If you're trading for Sky Moore, what's the basis of the trade?
Like former second round pick.
That's it. That's all we're saying.
I'm not saying it's a winning trade, but like we've seen trades in the league where they slap the tag former blank round pick on a guy. And who was the player? He was a Raider corner that was on Snapchat before he got cut by Kansas. Damon Arnett.
Yeah.
Remember the Chiefs signed Damon Arnett for that 10 minutes before he got on Snapchat with all those guns. For that 10 minutes, they were.
To be fair, they did not trade for him. He was outright released and he was just available.
Fair.
I'm not giving you anything for Damon Arnett. Yeah, if Sky Moore was just cut and available, would you be like, hey, take a flyer on Sky Moore. If you get him, you get him. I'm not giving you anything of value for Sky Moore. No thanks. No. I'm not doing that.
Aren't you the one who makes fun of me for, hey, you value seventh round picks? Shouldn't you get rid of seventh round pick guy, be the one advocating for someone just giving up to take a flyer? Isn't that what seventh round picks are for in your world? You're willing to trade them all the time haphazardly. How is a team trading a seventh round pick for Sky Moore any different?
Yeah, I mean, I just, if I'm going to take that swing, like let's say that you need a wide receiver and I'm willing to do a seventh round pick and I'm willing to call around the league, I'm guessing you're going to find a wide receiver that's better than Sky Moore. And there's better wide receivers that are available in free agency. Why would I trade for Sky Moore when Hunter Renfrow is still available? I'd rather go have Hunter Renfrow than have Sky Moore. Why would I do that? Like we can go through the, if I'm a team that desperately needs a wide receiver, why would I do that when I can still get a guy who has been a productive NFL player, which Sky Moore is not proven to be at no point. So yeah, Sky Moore is on your team. I know that you question it. I know you guys don't want that to be the case. He's on the team for right now. Now, at least he's on the team. They could cut him. He could go out there and he just gets beat out for the job. And at the end of it, hey, there's no more room for you. Kadarius Toney was better than you. Justin Watson was better than you. Nico Regemio, Justin Ross. Like, I'm not going to make it seem like he is 100% solid. There's no possible way that he can get cut this year. No, there's definitely a chance. But I do think, since we're talking about him being a second-round draft pick, I do think that gives him the advantage over Nico Regemio. It gives you the advantage over Justin Ross. I mean, if it's a tie, they're keeping Sky Moore on the team. If he and Justin Ross are equal on the same footing, Justin Ross is the one to go to the practice squad, and you are not – Sky Moore is just going to be here. He might get some healthy DMPs. He might get some healthy inactives, but I feel strongly that Sky Moore will be on the team this year.
What if it's a tie between him and Kadarius Toney? Like, you said if it's a tie between him and Justin Ross, which I agree with you, but what if it's a tie between he and Kadarius Toney? Because that's the first-round pick versus the second-round pick game. I know they trade a third for him, but if it's a tie between Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, I think that's...
Why wouldn't you just keep both of them? I hear what you're saying. I don't want to not answer the question, but just doing the roster math. So there's three wide receivers we know are making the team, right? We don't have to argue about them.
I would say four.
Who's the other one? Watson?
I would say it's Worthy, Brown, Rice, Hardman. Those are locks.
You have Hardman as a lock. I don't necessarily have Hardman as a lock, but I feel like he is going to make the team. We're on the same page. All right, so that's four. Watson's five. I mean, I think Watson's a better wide receiver than Toney and Sky Moore. Yeah, you're right. Now that we're doing the math, I mean, you get to six, and somebody's going to be the odd man out of that six now that you're doing it. Like, now that you're playing it out, if you got Hardman as a lock and he's your four, Watson making the team, and now you probably got, what, four wide receivers fighting for one spot with Regemio, Moore, Toney, and Justin Ross. And Regemio can go to the practice squad. Ross can go to the practice squad. I don't believe that Toney or Moore can go to the practice squad. So you got really two guys fighting for possibly one spot, or maybe you get the the Rice suspension early, and now you have an extra roster space open. You can keep all six of them. Rice is out for the next, first 4 to 6 weeks of the season, and now you can kind of do some roster math as an injury potentially happens. You maybe keep one more wide receiver than you wanted to.
I guess that's true. I think the Rice suspension may change the calculus a little bit, but just, you went through the math. I have Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson in the lock category because this organization has shown time after time after time, we trust those two guys. I'm not saying you or I do. I'm not saying the fan base does, but at every turn, they have treated Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson like, hey, we have all the faith in the world in you guys. So I have those guys in the lock category, and I don't think they're carrying 7 wideouts, so I could see a scenario where Tony and Moore tie for spot number 6. One of them can't go to the practice squad, so that's probably the decision Brett Veach has to make at some point up in St. Joe. Like, that's why I don't think the Sky Moore trade is outlandish as a possibility. Hey, I got to cut one of these guys anyway. I might as well get a conditional 7th back as opposed to just outriding him. Let's try our hardest to beat the waiver game for someone, but I think that's kind of the roster crunch that Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney are in.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think the wide receiver room is certainly going to be very interesting. Someone else said you guys are completely forgetting about Mecole Hardman. I don't know if you can forget about a guy who over the last 2 seasons has had 303 yards for the Kansas. Like, that's not a misspeak. Over the last 2 seasons of playing for the Chiefs, Mecole Hardman has 303 yards for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's why when you say a lock, I don't know if I would consider him a lock just due to the production. He hasn't really been healthy the last couple of years, but I do agree with you. The Chiefs seem to really like Mecole Hardman, and if they like you and they want you around, then you will be around. And I think he has proven to be trustworthy, at least on how you build this roster. I mean, I don't know if I would consider this to be a good problem, but there is a lot of competition for wide receiver 4 through 7 on the team. And if you got a guy like Mecole Hardman that knows the offense, at this point you would have to assume that Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney all know the offense, and Justin Watson. I actually feel like out of that group, Justin Watson is probably the biggest lock. Like, if we are saying out of those first 3, let's put those 3 guys in a corner, there's nothing to worry about, and then you've got the other one. So you got your tier 1 wide receivers and then your tier 2. I actually feel like Justin Watson is probably the most confident that I am. I would be very, very surprised if Justin Watson wasn't on this team. Very, very surprised. Justin Watson, they clearly like him. He has proven to be reliable. He has proven to be healthy, too. He has been a healthier and more productive player than any of those other players that we named. I actually feel the way that you feel about Hardman being a lock, I feel that way about Watson being a lock.
I actually think Watson falls in the exact same category. And I also think one of the reasons why I have Hardman in the absolute lock category is, I mean, I'm not saying we know the game. Dave Tobe picks the end of the roster. That's just how it works. Dave Tobe has mentioned Mecole Hardman as a guy that can do the new kickoff rules. So he can catch the ball. He can return the ball. He can do all those things. He can be jet sweep guy. He's cheap. He's a guy the team trusts. He obviously is trusted. He made the game-winning play in the Super Bowl. I think the team trusts those 5, and then we're fighting for 6-7, which is a great problem to have if the conversations are wide receiver 6.
Keep it locked in right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
We talked about this yesterday with Denny Matthews, Royals Hall of Famer. Rob, you and I can talk about it now. It is funny that you and I have sort of seen the complete cycle of the Oakland A's. When you and I were teenagers, Oakland was probably one of the 5 best teams in baseball. They were sort of the example of what you could be as a small market club. They had Miguel Tejada. They had Jason Giambi. They had a great rotation. They were sort of trying to do what the Braves did. You remember the Braves had a great rotation. Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones. The A's were trying to build something very similar to what the Braves did. Now, they never reached the ceiling that the Braves had, and they never won a World Series the way that the Braves did. But you knew year in and year out, especially in that division, you knew that Oakland was going to be a pretty viable team. Now, fast forward 20 years or so, we have now seen Oakland go from what felt like a very, very proud franchise. We saw them go from that to, I think now, they're the worst team in American professional sports. Just not just factoring the on the field. They're a bad baseball team, too. When you look at their stadium, you look at their facilities, when you look at the attendance on a night-in, night-out basis, when you see the fan engagement, when you see that it doesn't really feel like there is a city or a really home for them right now, they're going to go play in a minor league baseball stadium for a couple of years while they build this baseball stadium on the strip that Vegas is like kind of excited about. It just doesn't feel like they really have a home. Like, we went from looking at Oakland, I mean, in the early 2000s, I mean, they won 99 games in 2000. They won 102 games, 103, 96, 91, 88, 93. I mean, for our junior high and high school years, Oakland was the Minnesota Twins. They were the Yankees. They were the Red Sox. They were one of the five best teams in baseball. Now they're just sad. They won 50 games last year. They won 60 games the year before. They are dead last in attendance, like with a bullet. They're not good. No one cares about them, and they don't have a home and a future. It's sad what's happened to the Oakland Athletics, that a part of the country that is very proud to be where they're from. They have lost their basketball team. They lost their football team, and they're in the process of losing their baseball team at the end of the season.
I don't mean to turn this into a stadium conversation, because I really don't. But isn't Oakland a cautionary tale of what happens if you don't, you know, keep up with the Joneses, so to speak? Because in those times where me and you were growing up and the A's were everything, Miguel Tejada was MVP, Barry Zito, Tim Hudson. I loved watching Barry Zito pitch. He had that big 12-6 curve. It was fun. It was awesome. You know what the joke was? They played in the worst baseball stadium in the country.
It was bad.
We were making those jokes about the Coliseum in 01, 02, 03. Fast forward to 2024. They're still playing in that dump, or they're trying to get out, but they're still playing in that dump. And it's getting worse because the upkeep has gotten worse because the Raiders left the dump in Oakland. Like, isn't part of what has happened to the A's of they eventually got tired of playing second fiddle in their own stadium? They won their own stadium, and Oakland said, nah, we good? Isn't that kind of the cautionary tale?
I mean, I think that's one way you can look at it. I also just think it's an example of sometimes you get the really bad owner, and that's what they have. They just have a really, really bad ownership group. And if you don't have a leader and you don't have vision, this is usually what happens. You then are in a bad spot with the city. You can't negotiate your deal. There's a really bad relationship between team and franchise, organization and community. And now you're on the outside looking in. Like, I just looked up the attendance numbers. Like, we kind of joke about the Royals' attendance, and the Royals are 26th in attendance. They are bottom five. Oakland's dead last, and it's not close. So Miami is second to the bottom. They're the 29th most attended team. They're averaging 12,500 every night. Oakland is averaging 7,000 fans a home game. 7,000. Like, how do we go from Moneyball, Billy Bean? You are the example of what small market baseball is supposed to look like. That now you're pulling 7,000 a night? There's going to be a Missouri high school football game this year that they have more than 7,000 people at. You're doing this nightly. That's bad. We have seen the real highs and lows of the Oakland Athletics, and just no one really seems to care. There were a lot of people that they didn't have to let it get to this point of where it is. Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, the owner of the Oakland A's, the city council in Oakland. Like, there were a lot of fail safes. You mentioned the cautionary tale. This wasn't just one vote that happened. They kept losing on the ballot box. And eventually, if that happens, you got to figure somewhere else. And at this point, I think we know, like, Las Vegas, they are in the business of buying up professional sports teams. They finally got their one and broke through, and now they're about to have all four major sports. Like, they are going to have an NBA team by the end of the decade. Now that we have wrapped up all the NBA negotiations with the television deals, we know what's next. We are going to have an NBA expansion team here in the next 3 years. I believe one team is going to Seattle, the other team is going to Las Vegas, and then two teams are going to move from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference. We clearly see that's where basketball is heading. So they are going to have their football team. They have their football team. They have their hockey team. They're building the baseball stadium right across from MGM Grand. You can see like they are clearing the space out for them. And then they're about to get a basketball team here in a little bit. Sports leagues that never entertain the possibility of Las Vegas, they're about to have all four major sports teams here by the end of the decade.
It is funny the pivot we as a society have done on Las Vegas. Like, there was a time where the idea of actual professional sports out there was a problem. And remember, when the Knights first became a franchise, there was still intrepidation. Oh, you're in Vegas. There's all that gambling. What are we going to do? What's the deal? And then about 10 minutes later, it feels like, oh, they have every sport. And they're going to have no problem filling their arenas and filling their stadiums because they are the go-to destination game in every sport. Do you know what will happen to A's games? Not A's fans. They're not going to exist. But A's games are going to become near the top of attendance. You want to know why? It's every dude's, hey, let's go see the A's take on the Royals in this weekend series. It's June. Why not? Plus the weekend in Vegas. Like, if the series right now, the Royals and A's, was happening in Vegas, I bet your Royals fans go out there just because Vegas. 100%. Like, so it is wild the pivot we've seen on Vegas in sports. It went from faux pas to suddenly, wow, everyone's there.
I think that the A's should start over and that they should rebrand. I don't think they should continue being the Athletics. I think that time's over. I mean, this is what, the fourth time you've moved? You were in Philadelphia, you were in Kansas City, you were in Oakland, now you're in Las Vegas. You're getting a brand new, beautiful baseball stadium right on the strip in Las Vegas. It's time to completely start over. Let's start over from the very, very beginning. New jerseys, new colors, new philosophy, new fresh attitude, new everything. Let's leave what we didn't want anymore in Oakland. Let's leave that behind. I would completely start fresh if I am them. I would treat it like A's is a slur and that we are trying to get away from this name. And I would get the fans involved. I would get the city involved. And I would just completely start over. If you are the Oakland A's and as they are moving forward, when are they moving into that Vegas stadium? It's coming up in like 2027, right?
I thought it was 26 or 27.
Okay. Because I know next Oakland. Year they move in Sacramento. I know they moved to Sacramento and then they're going to play there for a year, 2 years. I mean, they have not started building the stadium. That's going to be a fast project if they're trying to get that thing up in time for opening day here coming up in about 18 months. Coming up on the other side, let's continue talking about baseball. There was a fun list on ESPN.com that I think really goes to show how special one of the Royals players are. We'll talk about it next. Keep right here. It's the drive. We talked about this yesterday with Denny Matthews, Royals Hall of Famer. Rob, you and I can talk about it now. It is funny that you and I have sort of seen the complete cycle of the Oakland A's. When you and I were teenagers, Oakland was probably one of the five best teams in baseball. They were sort of the example of what you could be as a small market club. They had Miguel Tejada. They had Jason Giambi. They had a great rotation. They were sort of trying to do what the Braves did. You remember the Braves had a great rotation. Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones. The A's were trying to build something very similar to what the Braves did. Now, they never reached the ceiling that the Braves had, and they never won a World Series the way that the Braves did. But you knew year in and year out, especially in that division, you knew that Oakland was going to be a pretty viable team. Now, fast forward 20 years or so, we have now seen Oakland go from what felt like a very, very proud franchise. We saw them go from that to, I think now, they're the worst team in American professional sports. Just not just factoring the on the field. They're a bad baseball team, too. when you look at their stadium, you look at their facilities, when you look at the attendance on a night in, night out basis, when you see the fan engagement, when you see that it doesn't really feel like there is a city or a really home for them right now. They're going to go play in a minor league baseball stadium for a couple of years while they build this baseball stadium on the strip that Vegas is like kind of excited about. It just doesn't feel like they really have a home. Like, we went from looking at Oakland, I mean, in that, in the early 2000s, I mean, they won 99 games in 2000. They won 102 games, 103, 96, 91, 88, 93. I mean, for our junior high and high school years, Oakland was the Minnesota Twins. They were the Yankees. They were the Red Sox. They were one of the five best teams in baseball. Now they're just sad. They won 50 games last year. They won 60 games the year before. They are dead last in attendance, like with a bullet. They're not good. No one cares about them, and they don't have a home in a future. It's sad what's happened to the Oakland Athletics, that a part of the country that is very proud to be where they're from. They have lost their basketball team. They lost their football team, and they're in the process of losing their baseball team at the end of the season.
I don't mean to turn this into a stadium conversation, because I really don't. But isn't Oakland a cautionary tale of what happens if you don't, you know, keep up with the Joneses, so to speak? Because in those times where me and you were growing up and the A's were everything, Miguel Tejada was MVP, Barry Zito, Tim Hudson. I love watching Barry Zito pitch. He had that big 12-6 curve. It was fun. It was awesome. You know what the joke was? They played in the worst baseball stadium in the country.
It was bad.
We were making those jokes about the Coliseum in 01, 02, 03. Fast forward to 2024. They're still playing in that dump, or they're trying to get out, but they're still playing in that dump. And it's getting worse because the upkeep has gotten worse because the Raiders left the dump in Oakland. Like, isn't part of what has happened to the A's of they eventually got tired of playing second fiddle in their own stadium? They won their own stadium, and Oakland said, nah, we good? Isn't that kind of the cautionary tale?
I mean, I think that's one way you can look at it. I also just think it's an example of sometimes you get the really bad owner, and that's what they have. They just have a really, really bad ownership group. And if you don't have a leader and you don't have vision, this is usually what happens. You then are in a bad spot with the city. You can't negotiate your deal. There's a really bad relationship between team and franchise, organization and community. And now you're on the outside looking in. Like, I just looked up the attendance numbers. Like, we kind of joke about the Royals' attendance, and the Royals are 26th in attendance. They are bottom five. Oakland's dead last, and it's not close. So Miami is second to the bottom. They're the 29th most attended team. They're averaging 12.5 every night. Oakland is averaging 7,000 fans a home game. 7,000. Like, how do we go from Moneyball, Billy Bean? You are the example of what small market baseball is supposed to look like. That now you're pulling 7,000 a night? There's going to be a Missouri high school football game this year that they have more than 7,000 people at. You're doing this nightly. That's bad. We have seen the real highs and lows of the Oakland Athletics, and just no one really seems to care. There were a lot of people that they didn't have to let it get to this point of where it is. Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, the owner of the Oakland A's, the city council in Oakland. Like, there were a lot of fail safes. You mentioned the cautionary tale. This wasn't just one vote that happened. They kept losing on the ballot box. And eventually, if that happens, you got to figure somewhere else. And at this point, I think we know, like, Las Vegas, they are in the business of buying up professional sports teams. They finally got their one and broke through. And now they're about to have all four major sports. Like, Like, they are going to have an NBA team by the end of the decade. Now that we have wrapped up all the NBA negotiations with the television deals, we know what's next. We are going to have an NBA expansion team here in the next 3 years. I believe one team is going to Seattle, the other team is going to Las Vegas, and then two teams are going to move from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference. We clearly see that's where basketball is heading. So they are going to have their football team. They have their football team. They have their hockey team. They're building the baseball stadium right across from MGM Grand. You can see, like, they are clearing the space out for them. And then they're about to get a basketball team here in a little bit. Sports leagues that never entertain the possibility of Las Vegas, they're about to have all four major sports teams here by the end of the decade.
It is funny the pivot we as a society have done on Las Vegas. Like, there was a time where the idea of actual professional sports out there was a problem. And remember, when the Knights first became a franchise, there was still intrepidation. Oh, you're in Vegas. There's all that gambling. What are we going to do? What's the deal? And then about 10 minutes later, it feels like, oh, they have every sport. And they're going to have no problem filling their arenas and filling their stadiums because they are the go-to destination game in every sport. Do you know what will happen to A's games? Not A's fans. They're not going to exist. But A's games are going to become near the top of attendance. You want to know why? It's every dude's, hey, let's go see the A's take on the Royals in this weekend series. It's June. Why not? Plus the weekend in Vegas. Like, if the series right now, the Royals and A's, was happening in Vegas, I bet your Royals fans go out there just because Vegas. 100%. Like, so it is wild the pivot we've seen on Vegas in sports. It went from faux pas to suddenly, wow, everyone's there.
I think that the A's should start over and that they should rebrand. I don't think they should continue being the Athletics. I think that time's over. I mean, this is what, the fourth time you've moved? You were in Philadelphia, you were in Kansas City, you were in Oakland, now you're in Las Vegas. You're getting a brand new, beautiful baseball stadium right on the strip in Las Vegas. It's time to completely start over. Let's start over from the very, very beginning. New jerseys, new colors, new philosophy, new fresh attitude, new everything. Let's leave what we didn't want anymore in Oakland. Let's leave that behind. I would completely start fresh if I am them. I would treat it like A's is a slur and that we are trying to get away from this name. And I would get the fans involved. I would get the city involved. And I would just completely start over. If you are the Oakland A's, and as they are moving forward, when are they moving into that Vegas stadium? It's coming up in like 2027, right?
I thought it was 26 or 27.
Okay, because I know next year they move in Sacramento. I know they moved to Sacramento, and then they're going to play there for a year, 2 years. I mean, they have not started building the stadium. That's going to be a fast project if they're trying to get that thing up in time for opening day here coming up in about 18 months. Coming up on the other side, let's continue talking about baseball. There was a fun list on ESPN.com that I think really goes to show how special one of the Royals players are. We'll talk about it next. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.